Mobius's Code by Francis Rosenfeld. Jennifer 2.0.3. Mobius was a busy angel. He'd been caught up in a whole host of activities, and checking up on Jennifer didn't make it to his endless list of chores. He just assumed, based on the lack of unusual developments in the real world, that she had found something to keep her occupied in unconstructed space, and he just left things at that. After 3 weeks, he felt guilty about the restrictions he'd imposed without properly explaining his reasons, and decided to drop in and see how she was doing. He found the unconstructed space empty and dark. The kiln was cold. It felt like it hadn't been started in days. Mobius started to panic. He checked all the other rooms, a little disoriented by the fact that they looked nothing like he last remembered them, and when he didn't find any sign of Jennifer in any of them, he went on full alert. A quick scan of everywhere he could think of turned up nothing. She wasn't downstairs, she wasn't in deep space, she wasn't in any part of the universe at all. Jennifer had disappeared. "But that is not possible," he gasped. "She has to be somewhere in this universe, unless she got accidentally deleted. And even so, I should be able to retrieve an older version of her at least. There is no way all traces of the code could be completely gone. The program is too redundant to allow that." He did a search for older versions, automatically saved versions, and any end-of-file error messages, which turned up nothing. He worried that somewhere in his code there was a fateful line that would corrupt the file without warning, and he suddenly felt all the burden of responsibility that seemed to have eluded him up to that point. He got angry at Jennifer for making him change the code. If only she left it alone, he could have guaranteed it worked properly. What in the world did she have to object to? She could have been a famous singer, and instead she chose to mess with creation and make everybody's life miserable. Now obviously her own. It is tragic to be an exception to life itself. If you're alive, somebody knows you. If you're dead, somebody remembers you. If you are neither and you disappear, it's just like you never existed at all. He was tired and stressed out by all the things he'd had to attend to over the past 3 weeks, but he made a workspace for himself, brought up the fateful Jennifer design, and started going through the flowcharts with a fine-tooth comb. It was almost impossible, even for him, to follow all of the logical branches that had evolved from that tree of uncertainty that was being neither living nor dead, but he summoned all his focus and scrubbed every instruction and loop for possible fatal flaws. He didn't find any. He was just about to start again when Jennifer popped in from nowhere. Mobius could hardly suppress his irritation. "Jennifer, I thought I told you to stay put," he yelled in a manner unbecoming a host of the divine. "Incorrect. You told me that if I go downstairs in this state you're going to get in trouble, so I didn't." "Oh, you're doing me a favor?" He couldn't believe his ears. "What am I talking about? I actually told you to stay here, I remember that very well. Where have you been?" "The other world. It's beautiful, you should come." She started enthusiastically. "I can't go to the other world. I'm an angel, it's not allowed," he blurted, appalled. "Could have fooled me. I've seen a lot of angels over there," she retorted. "You couldn't have. What did they look like?" "Well, they were tall and had wings." "Why don't you have wings?" she asked. "It's an upperclassman sign." "What kind of wings?" "White, with silver tips," Jennifer replied. "Those deceitful sniveling?" Mobius exploded. "They told us all not to go so they could have a place all to themselves." "I can take you there, if you'd like," Jennifer offered magnanimously. "Thanks, pass. You've done plenty already. And what exactly were you doing in the other world?" he questioned abruptly. "No wonder I couldn't find any trace of her. The other world is fully isolated. Where in creation does she come up with these ideas? Just when I was hoping to get some peace, finally." The other world had been a subject of intense disagreement among the angels, some of whom saw it as a wondrous source of creative inspiration, while others considered it too strange and unpredictable for long-term constructs. In the end, the reluctant side prevailed, and the other world was declared restricted territory, only accessible with special permission. "Unless you were Jennifer, apparently." Mobius got seriously upset. "How did you get there?" "No, seriously, I want to know. Who opened a portal for you to get there?"
"I did."
"How? Why?" he asked, exasperated. "You told me to practice, didn't you? What better practice than this?" Mobius had been somewhat hoping for beautiful artwork or unusual breeds of cats. "I'm glad that you at least didn't decide to visit hell, although if you keep up this kind of behavior you might run into me there on your next trip," he brought on the big guns of guilt and nagging. "I think I'm starting to understand how your mother feels. What is wrong with all of you?" Jennifer's anger smoldered, ready to surface. "What is the point of having free will if everybody in the universe has the right to tell you how to use it? I just felt like it, okay? And I could do it, so I did. I didn't hurt anybody, I didn't disturb your precious downstairs, I just wanted to do something interesting for myself. God forbid I'm not punished for it. Next I'll have to explain why I breathe in and out. Where is your cat, Jennifer? Did you let him starve, just like your mother said? Mobius found another tool to guilt her with. Jennifer pulled the kitten out of her blouse and set him down on the floor. The little ball of fur sniffed around for a second, and then started playing with one of the toy mice. Of course not, I brought him with me. I didn't want to leave him home alone for so long. You brought a cat through a portal, he exclaimed.
Yes, what about it? The portals are sacred.
You can't bring animals through them, it is forbidden, he gasped in dismay.
Nonsense.
You know, Mobius, for an awesome and powerful angelic host your existence doesn't seem that exciting. I haven't heard this many thou shalt nots while I was alive, and trust me, mine was not the best example of a fast and free existence. Mobius decided to take the high road, abandon the fight and, since his workstation was already downloaded to this sandbox, he engrossed himself in his work while sulking in silence. Jennifer went back to her pottery. After a few hours, she remembered something and interrupted Mobius' work to share the spoils. I almost forgot. I brought you something, she pulled out a strange misshapen tube and presented it to him. So, not only did you violate a forbidden boundary, but you also smuggled evidence of said wrongdoing back into this world, he snapped. Remind me not to get you anything next time, she pouted. She looked really hurt, so Mobius' voice softened a little, despite the fact that she'd broken his train of thought at a critical point and now he had to start the code review from the top again. I'm sorry, Jennifer.
What is it?
Fulgurite, I think. There are huge outcroppings of it over there.
See?
It sings, she pointed out. The movements of her hands exerted pressure on the air inside the tube and made the crystalline structure vibrate in a soft, melancholy tune. A singular thought occupied Mobius's mind since Jennifer's unscheduled trip to the Forbidden Lands. If he had fully isolated her sandbox, and he was sure he'd done a thorough job of that, how did she get out? He considered asking her but assumed that would be a pointless pursuit. Besides, he was convinced that another entity, possibly malevolent, had extended a bridge into the sandbox, a thought he found discomforting at best. He set all emotional reactions aside and tried to follow the path of logic wherever it might lead. How did one move matter and thought from an isolated environment to another isolated environment? The gateways were too obvious of an answer, and the first ones to get locked in the process. Besides, he had checked them repeatedly and had no doubt that they'd been secure the entire time. He checked himself for inadvertently becoming an energy carrier, despite the fact that simple logic ruled out this option. He'd never been to the other world. It must have been someone from the other world itself. What else could explain this? Their technology had always been a black box and only a precious few had studied it. Why, with the place being forbidden and all? Herein lay his dilemma. Normally he would have conferred with his colleagues. He would have brainstormed and required access to the pertinent information, but since Jennifer's waltzing through an impenetrable energy grid didn't make him look good, and her witnessing of unofficial angelic presence in the other world didn't make them look good, he was pretty sure that was not going to happen. He spent hours trying to remember everything he knew about that environment, while going over the field around Jennifer's unconstructed space again in search of any unusual energy flows, plasma oscillations, phase shifts. There was nothing. Meanwhile, Jennifer had decided that she could use a vacation and had made an exotic resort for herself in one of the other rooms to help her relax and recuperate. How could she stay so calm? Mobius got aggravated, churning all sorts of thoughts inside his head, all of which shall remain concealed to protect the innocents. Any normal human being would have been grateful or terrified or something. It's not like everyone gets to pick option other when it comes to life and death. It's not something one experiences every day, and she acts like she's waiting for the dry cleaning. Not to mention his presence, which, in and of itself, as far as he could remember, had always been considered a privilege for a mortal. Wasted effort I tell you, ungrateful human species, they all are, for sure. He went deeper into his ruminations, blaming himself for having such a preposterous idea to begin with, annoyed at Jennifer for not being able to offer any useful input and revolted by the silver-winged miscreants who swaggered through the other world like it was their backyard. I can hold existence in the palm of my hand and I have to spend all my time here, cleaning up after this ingrate. She can't even form a concept of how lucky she is. With that, the very last of his patience dissipated.
Jennifer.
He thundered, loud enough to be heard from the other room, over the sound of waves and soothing tropical music.
Jennifer showed up from the other room with half a tan and a full attitude problem. "What? Care to share with me how you hopped out of here?" Jennifer didn't say anything, but she approached his desk, touched it and disappeared. She showed up a few seconds later on the other side of it. "I'm not following," he frowned. "There is no difference, energetically, between me and this desk, or the grid, or you. We're all made of the same essence, I identify with that essence, but this is crazy, you can't do that." Mobius did not want to believe her. "This is crazy, as opposed to what? Spending time here, in this halfway world, with a non-human entity, while a copy of me is living my life downstairs?" Jennifer replied with the same insane calm. "So, you're saying that there is no reason why you couldn't, for instance, go home?" Mobius asked tentatively. Jennifer nodded. "Why didn't you? And terrify my mother by surprising her with Jennifer number two? I don't think so. Besides, I need some time to get used to all of this, it can be a little overwhelming. Did you know that the sunset can display 427 different hues?" "As a matter of fact, I did," Mobius replied. "A friend of mine worked on that project."
"Jennifer?"
Mobius called out tentatively. The unconstructed space was filled with half-finished projects, some leaning against the walls, some filling the center of the space and taking up all of its impressive height. Some actually touched the ceiling, which for some reason was now cross-vaulted. "Yes," a distant voice replied, as if from a dream. "Where are you?" "Up here," Jennifer waved from above, and then resumed her technically correct yoga pose. She was levitating, 20 feet or so above the floor, but the smile on her face had nothing to do with the concepts of self-realization and non-attachment. "Don't be silly," Mobius replied, shocked. "Get down from there, you're going to hurt yourself."
"As if,"
she answered. "How about this, is this better?" She turned around, maintaining the perfect pose, until her head pointed straight down. "See? I can make my hair stand on end. What are you, six?" Mobius continued looking up. He couldn't help notice that looking straight up at somebody for a long period of time made one's neck hurt. "This is really uncomfortable," he thought, frowning. It was very odd watching Jennifer from this angle, which only gave him a good view of the top of her head. The latter got restless and started swinging, as if she was hanging from the ceiling by the seat of her pants. "Why are you doing this?" he asked, bewildered. "No reason whatsoever," Jennifer grinned from ear to ear.
"Isn't this great?"
"No, Jennifer. No, it's not. Everything in creation has a purpose for being. What could possibly be the utility of this activity? I always wanted to do this and now I can. Yay me," Jennifer continued along her immaturity streak. "You don't do stuff just because you can, this is crazy." Mobius protested in the name of reason. "I could turn you into an octopus, but I'm not going to do that." "Oh, please, would you?" she asked, really excited.
"No, Jennifer.
We can't go rogue on existence and do whatever crosses our minds. And get down from there, gravity was instituted for a reason. Not in this environment, it hasn't." Jennifer moped, all of her joy and enthusiasm now gone. She dropped from the ceiling, turning feet down at the last minute. "Tell me, Mobius, did they outlaw all human happiness, or just mine? Do I need to remind you that whatever you do here has consequences in the world below? What do you think the world is going to look like if people start floating off the ground with no explanation at all?" "I thought you isolated the effects," Jennifer replied, deciding to temporarily abandon her six-year-old self. "It didn't work." Mobius snapped. "Please don't do that again. It's not like this hasn't happened before. There have been cases." Jennifer went through her limited knowledge of levitation, trying to remember all the documented instances thereof, all of which had been attributed to extraordinary spiritual experiences of some sort. Now she cringed at the thought that maybe many of those were nothing more than the consequences of a prick with a sandbox who got really bored. "Funny you should bring that up. Do you have any idea how hard we had to work to fix those mishaps? The laws of physics are sacrosanct, Jennifer. You don't make them a plaything. How would you like it if I divided you into seven distinct components and sent each of them to a different universe?" he asked, outraged. "There are different universes? What are they like? Can I visit?" Jennifer's eyes shone with curiosity. "I'm wasting my time," Mobius lost hope. He tried to approach the subject of responsibility from a different angle. "You know, I removed your copy from downstairs. Maybe you should go back there, talk to your mother, see your friends," he enticed. "Oh, hey." Jennifer's mood deflated even more. "What's wrong?" "I have a sinking feeling that my mother liked my copy better," I'm sure you cleaned it up of all the annoying personality traits that make me who I am and presented her with the perfect version of the daughter I never was. You two seem to get along a lot better now, Mobius confirmed. Say, while you're at it, can you go back through the blueprints and append an Ivy League degree? She'd always been disappointed about that. Might as well shave a few pounds off my weight while you're at it, if you have to get knee-deep in code anyway. What is wrong with you? He asked, genuinely dismayed. Nothing, Jennifer snapped. There is absolutely nothing wrong with me, that's just the problem. I'm not all of y'all's never-ending remodeling job. Mobius didn't reply, he just stared at the floor for a second and then continued gently. Just go see your loved ones, will you? I'm sure they all miss you, don't you miss them? They don't miss me because you made sure they can't even notice that I'm gone. And as far as I'm concerned, never have I ever had time all to myself. What's wrong with being on vacation for a week? I'm sure everyone will be able to manage without my ineffectual self, especially since I'm supposed to be dead. A life script you personally drafted, by the way. If I did die, what would they have done then? Jennifer got really aggravated. Lay off the guilt trip. Mobius, there are few things in life that irritate me more. Don't you miss your boyfriend? He poked at another precarious emotional zone. That's so pedestrian. If you really wanted to get creative, you'd ask me if I miss my job. Please ask me if I miss my job. Fine, do whatever you want. Do cartwheels on the ceiling for all I care. At least when they send me to hell, I won't have to deal with this anymore. Mobius threw in the towel. Day in and day out, you should do this, Jennifer, you should be that. Jennifer, why can't you be like normal people? Jennifer, even when I'm dead. If I want to hang upside down from the rafters when I'm dead, I should be able to do so without upsetting some freaking rule. Technically, you are not dead, Mobius clarified. Stop it with the technical nonsense. I am dead enough. Jennifer lost her temper. Leave me alone. Mobius brooded. Leave you alone? You wrote my stupid life. You decided I should die at 29. You dragged me here. You comment on everything I do, constantly. Me leave you alone? As I said, deciding your life range was not within my area of responsibility. Also, I didn't drag you here. You requested a design change. Against my better judgment, I might add, were you to follow the original design, you'd be much happier now. I am happy right now. Jennifer exploded. I can finally do something exciting and enjoy myself for once. Oh, so we're not the tragic human sacrifice, then? Mobius jumped on the "got you" immediately. Not if you don't try to prevent me from doing anything I want, I'm not. There are rules, Jennifer, you can't just do whatever you want. Forget the rules. The latter pouted, retreating into her pottery shop. Mobius followed. I really meant it. You should go back downstairs, they're going to start wondering what happened to you. Not my problem. You know what? I should have run your original code. How stupid of me to set my hair on fire like this. In his indignation, he omitted to acknowledge that, in fact, that had been his first intention, righteous, rule-abiding and catastrophically undone by a twist of fate. I guess it's right what they say, that when God wants to punish you, he doesn't do so by beating you with a stick. Fine, I'll go. Will you leave me be for a couple of hours now, to finish my projects? Sure.